We have appropriations back yet? Yeah.
Oh, they're coming. Pastor's that, here. Doc Statter.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. First Senate file for consideration, first reading. Senate file 97, first reading of the bill.
Senate file 97, sponsored by Senator Cole, appropriations to Wyoming Business Council and act relating to economic development.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, move introduction to Senate file 97. Members of the Senate, I've been down here quite a while, and one of the things we've talked about almost entirely the whole time I've been here is how can we diversify our economy in Wyoming and get away from the dependence on minerals like we have for so long. What this bill is, this is an economic development bill. And as you probably have paid attention through this Business Ready Community Program, through the Business Council, there's been a lot of success with this program. Most recently down here in southeast Wyoming, I believe there was a substantial loan and a substantial grant made to attract a company from Colorado. This is about a business up in my community, up in Cody, called Cody Labs, and it's a pharmaceutical company that was started up in 2000, so it's a homegrown company. It's in the old Walmart building, roughly 85 to 90 employees. There's a move out there right now, Lynette Corporation, or Lynette Company, trading on the New York Stock Exchange, LCI, out of Philadelphia, purchased Cody Labs in 2010. They would like to do, want to do, and if you'll notice, there's a letter on your desk from the president of this company, they would like to do a substantial enlargement of the company in Cody. So this is a bill that I bring to you, not because I'm trying to bypass the process, but it is substantial monies. It's $24.4 million in the form of a loan out of the Business Ready Communities account, and there's an appropriation to go into that. One of the things I found interesting is this letter from Lynette. And it says, already a colleague is asked to visit our site in Cody for potential expansion of their facilities. Conceivably, this could start a movement out there in the healthcare industry. The bill itself, the first phase, this is for the first phase of the project, $105 million. We come up with $24.4 million. Lynette Company brings $71.5 million to the table. $71.5 million, that's phase one. We increase to roughly, I've got to get the numbers here, roughly 100 more employees, and if all goes well, they do phase two, which is $72 million, 2019 to 2026, and the company grows to about 360 employees. This would take place in the North Cody Industrial Park, if you know where the old refinery used to be. It's right there on that particular site. There's a railroad siding there as well. So as you look at the bill, you'll see that it says this loan made under this section shall be a loan and not a grant. So this is definitely a loan. It goes on to say that none of the monies are expended until it has received a commitment of at least $71.5 million in matching funds as a private investment. That's what the bill does. So this is a win-win bill. Obviously, it's a win-win situation, obviously, for my community, the Bighorn Basin, but also the state of Wyoming. This is economic diversification in its finest hour, I think, and this is the real deal. There's no question this is the real deal. I'd ask for your support of this. The funding part of it, that's kind of a work in progress. We're going to look at different options out there as the bill works its way through the system. But I'm very, very anxious about this bill and getting this introduced because I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the state of Wyoming and my community and the Bighorn Basin. I'd ask for your support.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Senate File 97, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senator Esquibel, privilege of the floor. You may have it.
Thank you, Mr. President. Over here to my left, are some parents and some of their loved ones. They represent Wyoming Parents, Empowering Parents. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen their display down in the tunnel by the Capitol Club. They came down to express their concern and their appreciation for all that you do. Came from Gillette, from Jackson, from Lyman. I'd like to introduce them to you. Would you join me in welcoming them to the Capitol?
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Kraft.
Could I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Thank you so much. We're very, very proud of Western Wyoming Community College in my part of the world in Rock Springs, and we're especially proud of our nursing program. And if you look right up there, you'll see why we're so proud. There's 22-plus nursing students here for Nurses Day at the legislature from Sweetwater, Uinta, Carbon, and Lincoln counties. Would you please welcome them to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. I hope you enjoy your day.
Included the meals.
Further announcements? Senate File 98, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 98, sponsored by Senator Meyer, State Board of Education Membership, an act relating to the State Board of Education.
Senator Meyer.
I move for introduction of Senate File 98, State Board of Education Membership. Mr. President, this bill essentially allows for the election of 10 members to the State Board of Education across the state. Each education member is nested in a Senate district of 3, so you've got your one man, your one vote. They are handled in a nonpartisan manner, just exactly like our local state boards of education are for each one of our districts. They register at the Secretary of State's office. And, Mr. Chairman, I didn't go into any of the duties of the state board. I think the reason why I bring this bill now, even though it has an effective date of, as far as the election and the next election, is that it's going to take some time for the Secretary of State to get the rules written and be able to work on it a little bit this spring and a little bit next fall after the elections. And it's going to take some time to get some conforming amendments as far as the other state board members. We've got a couple of them coming up, I think, this year to bring community colleges on. But you want to have the whole state board and all the conforming amendments put together so when these folks go out and run for election, we all know what the board is going to consist of as far as the number of members. And I think one of the things that really I heard over the last year or two is that people are really excited about education in Wyoming. and they want to become part of it. And this is one way, I think, that you can use the electoral process to really invigorate that desire to have to be part of the process. And so, Mr. President, I'd like to have the opportunity to move this bill forward, discuss it, see how we can keep this excitement about education going forward.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Senate File 98, having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 98 has failed introduction. Senator Burns.
Privilege to the floor, please.
You may.
Mr. President, all due respect to the good senator from Sweetwater County in introducing her students from Western Wyoming, you've met the rest. Now meet the best. We've got the nursing students from Sheridan College up in the South Balcony. If they'd stand up and take a bow.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Cooper.
Please, to the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce to the Senate some previous legislators here in the Wyoming State Senate. Dan Budd, who's here visiting from Big Piney, and Ann Strandbud, who was also a legislator here in Wyoming. Yeah, some of you probably remember these folks.
First reading of Senate File, Senate File 100.
Senate File 100, sponsored by Senator Nicholas, Business Ready Community Programs Modifications, and Act Relating to the Business Ready Community Program.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move for the introduction of Senate File 100 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is a bill that has a very broad scope to address and begin the discussion about the Business Ready Community Program. You know, there are a lot of things that are happening, but originally when we started the BRC program, we provided for grants and loans to cities, towns, and counties. And the constitutionality of that is simple because they're public infrastructure. They did benefit nonprofits and private folks, but the benefits were consistent with the public benefit that we would return to the community, and so the issue of constitutionality wasn't that great. We went from the BRC program to saying, well, let's expand a little bit and allow community development organizations to be the applicants and to receive the funds. And we did that really without an examination of whether or not those CDOs are entitled to receive the direct benefit of those funds under our Constitution, which says, as you recall, that we can't give our financial support or income directly to entities that are not controlled by the government. Then, And then we allowed CDOs to then acquire buildings and kind of step into the position that the communities were in. And now we've launched the next step, and that is say, well, if we can let CDOs do it, let's do grants and directly to communities, directly to private organizations. And there kind of has to come a time where we say, okay, we took these three steps without examining each step closely enough to make sure that they're all constitutional. Now, certainly our motivation has always been economic development. We do want to make sure we have the tools for economic development, but we also have to make sure the tools are there. We now see more and more pressure to provide grants and loans directly to private entities. And we're seeing these grants and loans go to CDOs that are private entities without any obligation to account for the money as they talk about revolving and whether these funds should be revolving and what purpose. We have, in my community, the proposal was to use some of the revolving funds to fund a hospice organization. Wonderful project, but you have to ask the question, is that the primary economic development jobs that we are looking at that are bringing new jobs and diversity from out of state? So I don't know what the answer is. I think that we as a group have to begin to focus on a reexamination of the BRC program. And we also need to compare that to the Amendment 4 program, which is allowed under the Constitution to give grants directly to private individuals at below interest, below market rates. So we have the constitutional language and all the tools we need, but I think we are falling into a situation where we're not discerning between what should be an Amendment 4 type grant or loan to a private entity and what should be a BRC grant to a public entity for public infrastructure. I think we should move down to reexamine that. All this bill does for now, or what this bill does, is propose a couple things. One, to make sure that all these funds as they go out remain public funds. So if they do go to a CDO, they remain public dollars. They have to tell us what they're doing with them. They have to tell us whether they're recirculating. The members of the public can see whether they're getting recirculated and to what benefits and uses they're providing. That there be some accounting, that if a CDO ends up with these public funds, they account to the public as to how they're reusing the dollars. And this one actually sets up a recirculation, and we can modify that through the session. I urge your support.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
No.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case? Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Rothfuss? Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Senate File 100, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 100 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senator Coe.
I have down here all the way from Powell, a Northwest College nursing group, and I sense they might be up here behind me, but I'm not positive. They're right there in front of me now. I can see them. From Northwest College with their instructors Chris Brewer and Tina Smith came all the way from Powell, 400 miles down here. Welcome. Would you please welcome them.
Thank you for attending the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. Senate File 109, first reading of Senate File.
Senate File 109, sponsored by Senator Barnard, Freedom of Teachers in Protecting Students, an act relating to school safety and security.
Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate File 109 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill is a bill that talks about safety and security in schools. It allows possession of firearms by teachers on school property and creates a process for the school districts to approve possession of firearms on school property. Mr. Chairman, one of the main things about this bill on page 2 is the Board of Trustees will make a decision as to whether they want to have firearms in their district. And then they will have two public hearings, and the public hearings will be advertised in plenty of time so people can know about the firearms. And the public hearings will also be sent to all the parents of the students, so they will be sure to be able to know that this affects them. This preserves, Mr. Chairman, this preserves local control. It makes the school districts make the decision. They represent the people, and they can choose not to have this or they can choose to have it. The one thing about this bill is it emphasizes the fact that the teachers must be trained, and it will require 16 hours of post-training in order to be qualified to carry a gun in a school. The applicants will be chosen and interviewed by the principal. The teachers will be interviewed by the principal and two of the Board of Trustees. If it's the principal who wants to carry, they'll be interviewed by the superintendent and the two Boards of Trustees. The person who does this will have to have a concealed weapons permit. They'll have to be able to pass a mental evaluation screening. They'll have to provide proof that they've had 16 hours of training, and they'll have to prove shooter qualifications. This bill provides a way for teachers who misuse this privilege to have their rights revoked. It tells them how that happens in this bill. Mr. Chairman, I know this is a controversial bill. I think that it will help the rural schools. I've been asked by several schools in my district if they could have some way to protect themselves, because by the time there's a school incident, the time it takes for a county officer to get there is sometimes as much as 20 minutes, and they would like a chance to protect themselves. I feel this bill will also help in costs as far as school resource officers. If you have my town of Evanston, it has 8 schools. If you hire 8 school resource officers at $40,000, that's $320,000 a year just for that. In 10 years, that's $3.2 million. So I feel like this can help keep those costs down. And, Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of people in the state who don't want our schools to be gun-free zones. I would ask for your favorable condition on this bill. Thank you.
Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel. Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatron.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote to close. 30 ayes.
Senate File 109, having received a 2/3 majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 94. Senate File 94. First reading of Senate File.
Senate File 94, sponsored by Senator Driscoll, Game and Fish Resident Preference Points, and Act Relating to Game and Fish.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the introduction of Senate File 94, Game and Fish Preference Points, and ask for your favorable consideration. And for a better explanation than I can do, I'll refer to the co-sponsor of the bill, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the body, this is a bill that came before you last year. It passed out of the Senate 28-2. But what the resident preference points does is just assigns a number of points for unsuccessful applicants if you apply every year, and then it divides those licenses to the 75% go to those persons that have the highest number of points, 25% go to the random draw, so there's always a chance to draw even for first-time applicants. We currently do this for residents for all of sheep, moose, and goat, or sheep and moose. Non-residents have it for all big game species in the state of Wyoming. So the only species right now that aren't covered under this type of program in the state of Wyoming is for residents, deer, elk, and antelope. It passed out of the Senate 28-2. It went to the House. It failed by three votes in the House. There were three points that the House had some concerns with. One of them was youth's ability to access the program. So there's two modifications in this bill to address those concerns that the House brought up last year that allows up to two youth applications to be attached to, their preference points don't count towards the total. So what it effectively does is allow those youths, as they become eligible to hunt big game, move to the front of the line. The other provision that was in there that was became a little bit of concern for the House is non-residents have had this program for almost 8 years now. So that if a non-resident moved to the state of Wyoming, they would have 8 points or 9 points, whatever that is, and residents would have one. So what this just says is that non-residents move in because you can't retain any more than the maximum number of points available to the resident population. So while they have the maximum points, it just puts them on a level playing field. With that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern? President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 94, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 94 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my microphone on. Senate File 94, having received a two-thirds majority vote, is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side of Senate File 106, I move for immediate reconsideration of the vote of Senate File 106.
Motion is not debatable. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Okay, on reconsideration of the vote, the question now is, shall Senate File 106 pass introduction? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Senate File 106, having received a two-thirds majority vote, Senate File 106 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Senate Joint Resolution 2, first reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, sponsored by Senator Burns, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution relating to the Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you threw me off guard. I thought we were going to be doing Senate File 99 first.
Has been asked to be laid back until tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
By the sponsors.
I will rally. Mr. President, I move Senate Joint Resolution 2 and ask for the body's favorable consideration on this fine joint resolution. Mr. President, what this is actually a constitutional amendment. As some of you might have heard, we've been having some problems with the position of Superintendent of Public Instruction. One of the major complaints that I've heard from voters and from some legislators who were against the passage of Senate File 104 was they felt that their vote was being voided by the legislature. What this bill does basically is removes the Superintendent of Public Instruction as an elected official and makes the superintendent an appointed official under the governor, confirmed by the Senate. Mr. President, this is something that I have always wanted to do and felt that we should do before any of the current difficulty we've had over this last year or two. What would happen with the statewide boards is it would still take 3 votes on the, for instance, on SLIB board or on the state land board. It would still take 3 votes to pass. Mr. President, it's just frankly, there's one other twist to it. Since this would go on the ballot this next election day in November, there will be candidates for school superintendent on the ballot this year. So as not to invalidate either their running or the votes of the people who would vote for them, this would not become effective until 2019. So any school superintendent who is elected this next November gets to serve their full 4-year term. But as of 2019, it would the position would revert to an appointed position under the governor. And under by that standard, Mr. President, none of the current office holders in at statewide offices actually will be in office at that point. They'll be term limited out, so none of the current personalities will be involved at all in this. Mr. President, this meets the criteria that I've heard complained about, that we didn't have a vote in this. This would become a ballot, and this would be something that the people of Wyoming could vote on and decide whether or not they want to do that. I've gotten a number. Apparently, this bill, this constitutional amendment has caught the attention of the email trees, and I've gotten any number of emails saying vote no on this, and that this somehow takes away their vote. And I don't quite understand that, because all we're trying to do here is basically is to give the voters of Wyoming the vote to determine how they want to do and what kind of state government they want to have. And with that, I thank you for your courtesy.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
No.
Beepout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines. Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
No.
Cooper, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Anderson, District 28, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, having failed a two-thirds majority vote, Senate Joint Resolution 2 has failed introduction. Reports from standing committees.
February the 13th, 2014. Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 72, Burglary. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, and Kraft. No, Senators Christensen and Driscoll. Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 45, Game and Fish Department General Fund Budget Request. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Burns, Christensen, Kraft, and Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization 2, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Case, Peterson, Von Flatern. No, Senator Emmerich. Senator Peterson, Chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 59, Specific Service Signage on Highways, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye. Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Platerin, Senator Von Platerin, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Electoral and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 16, Insurance Guarantee Association Model Act, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 18, Counties Legal Publications, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 19, Cities and Towns Legal Publication, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 13th, 2004, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 20, Local Government Legal Publication, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 74, Unemployment Insurance Coverage Fiduciaries, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Scott, excuse Senator Nutting, Senator Case, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Are these white now? Are they white? Okay. Senate File 6. Second reading of Senate File. I have an amendment. The reading clerk will read the amendment in.
Senate File 6, second reading amendment number 1, page 4, line 22.
Senator Geis, or no, Senator Hicks?
Mr. President, I'd move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 6, contested case. We had quite a discussion about the legal process that this goes through in these contested cases yesterday. And after that discussion, I went back and checked my notes from the interim meeting that we had on this subject, and we brought a standing committee amendment yesterday. And after going back and reviewing my notes from the committee meeting, there was a reason that the committee left that in there to begin with. And let me explain what that does. Mr. President, let me explain what we did yesterday with the Standing Committee Amendment. Right now, as it stands with the Standing Committee Amendment that was adopted yesterday, it says, in the event of a hearing is held, he, which means the state engineers, shall make known to the parties at the hearing what information he used to make that decision. So you, as the objector to the petition, you're objecting to a decision made. You convene a hearing. It's not till you get to the hearing that the state engineer has to disclose to you what information was made that led him to his decision. What the amendment effectively does is says, look, you have to disclose to that party that's objecting 15 days before. And all this amendment does is basically restore that balance of justice. We need to provide due process for those people who are objecting to a decision of the state engineer to look at that information before they walk into that appeal process and say, look, this is where I disagree with you based on the information that you've made that decision. So only thing this attempts to do is what I would call is provide equal justice to the parties and provide discovery of that information that's going to be used to be judged on their against their appeal. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions and ask for your favorable consideration of a yes vote on second reading amendment number one.
Any discussion on second reading amendment number one? Ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate File 6, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 6 having been read two separate... Sorry, Senator Perkins.
Hi, Mr. President. I apologize for not standing up before. Mr. President, looking at this thing, I've been working on a fairly significant amendment. I think we've advised the sponsor of the bill, or at least the good senator from Carbon County about this. And if we could, it's not ready yet, Mr. Chairman. And rather than bring it on third reading, I wonder if we could lay this back one day.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'm a little confused on the process here, seeing how we voted on the amendment.
That's my concern, is that we've already engaged in second reading amendment.
Okay.
I think we have no other choice but to you'd have to bring it on third reading. Senator Case?
Mr. President, I think I'd argue that we could lay it back. It's just like we were in the middle of it. There's an amendment that's on it. The amendment's still on it the next day. I don't think it'd be appropriate to bring an amendment to strip it off. I think you'd have to do that on a different reading because we would just be continuing this second reading. That would be my feel on this.
Mr. Chairman, I have no objections to laying the bill back, but as the amendment was voted on, my perception would be that would move forward. That's done. But if we needed to lay the entire bill back until tomorrow, I think that we'd have no objections to that.
Hearing no objection, Senate File 6 will be laid back for second reading tomorrow. Senate File 7, second reading of Senate File.
Brucellosis surveillance.
We have an amendment. Reading clerk will read in the amendment.
Senate File 7, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, thank you. I move for the adoption of second reading amendment 1 of Senate File 7. This is just clearly a clerical miss. Yesterday we struck amendment twice down in the body of the bill, and this takes out a title and cleans it up. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Any discussion? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, Senate File 7, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 9, second reading of Senate File.
Probation and parole agent arrest authority.
Senate File 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 10, second reading of the Senate File.
Work Release Act repeal.
Senate File 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 12, second reading of the Senate File.
State Education Program.
Senate File 12, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 13, second reading of the Senate File.
Hathaway Scholarship Program Enrollment Expansion.
Senate File 13, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 27, second reading of the Senate File.
Endowment Challenge Program Fees.
We have some amendments. Second reading amendment number one. Reading clerk will please read it in.
Senate File 27, second reading amendment number one, page 2, line 18.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I would move Senate File, or second reading amendment number two to Senate File 27. Members of the body, what this does, if you go into it, the discussion we had yesterday, under the foundation program, with the current language in there, it says that they can take up to 1%. The second provision of that says any modification of this limitation shall be affected through the footnote in a budget. I guess I'm a little bit uncomfortable of that. If we're going to go allow an appropriation for them to use more than that 1%, I guess I'd like to see it more of a discussion and bring it back in the form of a bill to this body as to whether we want to allow them to go more than 1%. And let me explain some of the rationale behind this and some of the testimony that we had in the committee on this. About 6 years ago, the way this program ran is as the university, these people that run the foundation are University of Wyoming employees. And somewhere between 4 or 6 years ago, the administration at that time decided that they would just pay for those employees in the foundation out of the foundation grant. That was part of the concern that actually led this to be an interim topic for the committee to discuss. So what effectively happened is that freed up those, at that time they were funding 16 positions. The university was paying for 16 positions to run the foundation. There was a reduction in the number of personnel based on the testimony that we received. When the foundation started paying for it, there was 12 people then being paid out of the foundation grant to cover that cost. I think that's a good, I think the discussion, I'd have to reiterate what Senator Schiffer said yesterday. It was tremendously productive dialogue between the university and the committee when we went through this. I appreciate their openness to come and work with us on this. But I guess when we start leaving this thing, when I look at this right now and it just says that any modification, is that 2%, 3%, 5% would simply be affected through the footnote? I think when those discussions are going to take place, that needs to come back before this body and make a decision what that is. And here's the ramifications of that. As this fund builds up, it's not a static 1%. That 1% may be $1 million today, and hopefully that the foundation has the luxury that 1%, based on significant fundraising and very successful fundraising, that we hope to be able to continue to match that, to generate those funds, that this 1% could very well be at $1.5 million in 10 years. And it allows them to take that 1%. I just think when we start to go over that 1%, that ought to be a legislative decision and not something that, what is above the appropriation? It just doesn't tie it down. Is it 2, 3, or 4%? With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, what in effect this amendment does is says that the administration fee will only be 1%. The reason I've really got to oppose that is the university president and the board of trustees have been charged with running the university. We give them a block grant. We let them go out and form our university, promote the excellence of the university, add majors, delete majors, all those things. We let them do it. We've provided some matching funds and said we're going to set up an endowment. Board of trustees of the university go out there and improve the quality of our university. And I would submit to you they've done an excellent job. One of the things the board does and the president is look at this management fee. And they look at it very closely. And right now it's at 1.25%. And they can justify that. The check we place on them is a budget amendment, a footnote, if you will. Or they could do it in the 300. It doesn't matter. But all what we're really asking for there is make sure you look at it, Mr. President and University Board of Trustees, and then put it in your budget request. That's sufficient. To say that they have to run a separate bill anytime they want to adjust that management fee, that administrative fee, that's cumbersome, and it's not worthy of being in a bill. It just simply isn't worthy to run a bill to change that fee. You hired a president to run the university. You got a board of trustees to run the university. Let them run it. They'll keep us informed with a budget footnote or a title or a section 300. But let them go with it. That's what they're there for. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to defeat this amendment. Just to add a little on to what my colleague from Johnson County has said, you know, we've capped it at one, and through the Appropriations Committee process, you know, anything else over and above that will be determined by this body as it should. And I, for one, think that the Foundation Board has worked very diligently with the Judiciary Committee and members of this body to come up with something that mutually works for everybody. And I think we've arrived at that conclusion, so I would ask the body to defeat this.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, just asking about the mechanics of it before the sponsor has his last time to chat, and relates to the sponsor of the bill. The only other area where I know that we've allowed for additions to be made to a budget that would affect an ongoing item is we did something similar to this to the judiciary salaries, where we said, as long as the state was providing for salary increases generically for all employees, that the judges could receive a like increase. So you could have a situation where the budget increases the judges, or the salary of a judge, which is not reflected in the statute. So you open up the statute and you see on that day that it says judges are paid 160, when in fact you know they're paying 170. But when the budget expires, their salary continues that level because there's another provision that says you can't reduce it during term of office for the judge. So you know that the salary increase continues for judges on because of the constitutional distinction. So my question in this instance with this language, how do you intend that the adjustment only be for the period of the budget? So if the budget's only in effect for 2 years, so that at the end of the 2 years, it goes back to the statutory amount, or is it your intention that you put it in one budget and that it would continue even after the expiration of the budget? Look, he's smiling.
You've used one. You'd have a second. Let's see if there's any further questions before Senator Schiffer speaks. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, for my second time, the majority floor leader has identified something that was purposely put in there. The adjustment to the management fee is only good for 2 years. If they wish to extend it beyond 2 years, they'll be right back in the budget cycle. They come in and say, okay, we want to extend it. But it gets looked at every 2 years. In fact, on June 30th, when the budget expires, their authority to have that extra 0.25% administrative fee goes away unless they have put in either a footnote or a Section 300 in the budget. So any given excess above 1% is only good for the 2-year lifespan of the budget. That's the way it was designed. And they're okay with that. I think they really did understand exactly what I was doing. I mean, they're from the university.
Senator Hicks, do you have...
Question's
been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, the Senate file 27, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. We have another amendment... Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 27. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 27, second reading, amendment number 2, page 2, line 18.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 27, having some premonition that maybe that one first one might not be palatable to the body, but I do think that we do have a responsibility for some level of oversight, given the nature that these funds are going to go up over a period of time. So what this does is basically set what's currently going on. This is the foundation program's taking 1.25% as it exists today. It gets right back into what the existing was. It says they can go ahead and come in and take that up to that 1.25%. But what it then says is if you're going to do that, you don't have to do it through a footnote of the budget, but what you do have to do is provide a detailed account back to the Joint Appropriations Committee on how that funds was spent. And this is the thing you have to understand is that 1.25% as it exists today may be $1 million. 5 years down the road, that could be $1.5 million coming in through that 1.25% interest, and 10 years down the road, it could be a lot more than that. And we certainly hope that's the case. But what this also sets and does with this, by amending this in, is it sets today what is the current status quo, which is a 1.25% that the foundation program can take. Because here's my concern, and it's not a criticism, it's just an observation, that if we lose the institutional memory as to what was the status quo today of that 1.25% that they're currently taking, 2 years, 3 years, 4 days, not intentionally, but it's just the natural nature to come back and ask for 2%. Or 3%, or just do that through a footnote in the budget. And I just want to enshrine that what the current situation is today, they can take up to 1.25%. And when they get to that, as that fund continues to increase, that we have a little bit of knowledge as to how those funds are being expended. With that, I'd stand for any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment. I'd like to divide it lines 2 through 7, and then lines 8 through 15, and I'd like to have the lines 2 through 7 be part 1 and deal with that first.
It is divisible, and you may address for your first time the first division.
Mr. President, what this does, in essence, places a cap, so the total administrative fee could only be 1.25. Again, looking out years from now or even next year or the year after, we don't know whether that's an appropriate amount. We don't have any idea. There's no way to tell. But I urge you to resist this amendment. Let the university president and the board of trustees run their university for you. Give them the tools. You're already holding them accountable. They've got to let you know if they go above one. But let those folks do their job. Don't muck around setting limits on the thing. Let them do their job. They're doing an excellent job. They really are. They've used that endowment to truly improve the quality of the university. I'm thrilled by it. Let them keep going. You know, if you're leading a horse race, don't say, whoa. Let them go. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Further discussion on division number 1. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, urge the body to resist the amendment. I'm really hesitant for this particular situation and regarding the issues we have with the foundation. This would be in statute, obviously, and down the road things change. We have a budget procedure set up. I like the second part of the amendment. That certainly provides more protection for this body to make those decisions. It is for a 2-year period. I think we're just going one step too far, and I would ask the body to resist this.
Further discussion on Division 1. Hearing none, are you ready for the question? Questions called on Division Number 1. All those in favor of Division Number 1, which consists of lines 2 through 7 on Senate, Second Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 27, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That portion of the amendment is passed, or has failed. Timeout. Time out. Sorry. My bad. Okay, we're now on division number 2, which is page 2, lines 8 through 15 of the amendment. Senator Schiffer, do you wish to discuss division number 2?
Question.
Question on division number 2, lines 8 through 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That portion of the amendment has passed. We have no further amendments. Senate File 27, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like for you all to meet some folks who represent one of the finest nursing programs in the country. They come all the way down here from Casper College, and I can vouch for the fact that none of these students have been in the dean's office. And I'm really proud of them. And would you please welcome our Casper College nurses to the Senate?
Welcome to the Senate. Just a sec. I see a number here. Okay, we'll go with Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Off and on this afternoon, we've introduced a number of groups of really fine students and really fine nurses. They don't reach that level of accomplishment without good leadership. And so with that, I would like to introduce a group of leaders of the nursing profession up in the balcony to your right. So let's please have them stand. We'll welcome them as well.
Thank you for your work and training skills that you provide to our nursing students. Okay, we are now on Senate File 15, second reading of the Senate file.
Community College Major Maintenance.
I have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in amendment number 1 to Senate File 15.
Senate File 15, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 11.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15. Members of the Senate, as we looked at this bill, and it's a community college major maintenance bill, we had some discussion with the Community College Commission, who before last year when we passed Senate File 77 had the responsibility of major maintenance. Now that has now shifted over to the ANI with the Construction Management Division. In their rules, they have a procedure set up for when a new building is first built that it doesn't automatically get 100% of their major maintenance funding, as it should not, because it's a brand new building, there's warranty on it, all these kinds of different things. This is what their rules say in terms of how you phase in that building, and you can see, Mr. President, what it does, A through F, which is 1 through, or A through G, 1 through 7 years, and this puts into statute what this schedule would be for new buildings. So if we don't have a situation, should the rules be changed and all of a sudden you would have a new building built and they would come and request and it would be in the formula to receive 100% of the major maintenance. It's a phase-in approach. I think it's the right thing. I would ask the body's favorable consideration.
Any discussion? Question has been called on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 15, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Insurance electronic delivery of documents.
Senate File 17, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 21, second reading of the Senate File. Your mic wasn't on.
Insurance Onerous Solvency Model Act.
Senate File 21, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 26, second reading of the Senate File.
Endowment Challenge Program State Funds Inviolate.
Senate File 26, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 29, second reading of the Senate File.
Supervised Probation of Misdemeanants.
Senate File 29, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 55, second reading of the Senate File.
Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Award Increase.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55.
Senate File 55, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 5.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the body, I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55. This is just the generation of our long discussion yesterday. All this takes is going from the 10% that was in the bill that we discussed yesterday on first reading to 5%. Voted up or voted down, but I don't think we need to go back over that protracted discussion we had yesterday. With that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration for a yes vote or stand to answer any questions.
Discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I ask for the yeas and nays on this amendment. Mr. President, I would urge the Senate to resist this. I think it's been long enough since this program was in where the kind of increase that we see in the bill, the 10% increase, is justified. I think it's a mistake to cut it back to 5%. I think the Hathaway is going to gradually lose its meaning if we don't increase it. We probably ought to increase it more frequently than we have, but we haven't. And so I think 10% is the appropriate figure. But use your judgment, but I do ask for the yeas and nays, Mr. President.
Any further discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to point out to the body that we've, per the request of the other senators yesterday, provided a good bit of the data that we used when we were making the judgment for the 10%. So you have in front of you the original issue brief that was presented by the Legislative Service Office during the interim when we were interested in considering the possibility of a raise. We asked the LSO to provide us with feedback on the stability of the fund and take into consideration a lot of the factors that were discussed yesterday. So you have that for your leisure reading, perhaps later tonight. You also have some financial details with regard to the Hathaway Student Scholarship and some additional background and funding material. Then there are some scenarios that were developed for consideration last night based on concerns of the future viability for the funding. And you have these in graphical form, and then the second half is a tabular form so you can see the specific data. And there's some scenarios laid out here based on percentage increases of tuition at different levels of investment income and different return. And I'd go to that right now and just point out a couple of concepts. The first thing that you see on page one of it, it's titled Figure 1 Hathaway Reserve Account Ending Balance Under Current Law for a series of different scenarios. You can see that under a situation where we had only a 2.37% return, which is effectively what the Treasurer estimates with no capital gains being accrued, then we do have some problems out in the future. In terms of the reserve account, the Hathaway reserve account goes down and you can see a net expense there. But one of the keys to realize is that we can't dig into the corpus. So it's not that we would start losing funds. It's that we would be unable to afford a full Hathaway scholarship under that condition a few years out unless we had an appropriation of around $20 million or up to $20 million for that year to account for it. But you don't have to change the percentage as you're looking forward very much. You can see at 4% or at 6%, the fund, whether it's under the current scenario or the proposed 10% tuition increase scenario, it's nearly indistinguishable. There's no problem moving out into the future if we achieve a 4% rate of return on that investment or a 6% rate of return. So we were comfortable with it. Moving to the second page, you can see, in fact, the actual Hathaway corpus, based on the fact that you have a rollover or a spillover, I should say, from the surplus or into the surplus of the surplus from the reserve account, into the corpus based on any excesses. And you can see that if we have a 6% return on the investment income, that's a scenario where we continue to easily grow the corpus. A 4% means that we could fund this 10% increase without any problem and have a slow increase in the value of the corpus. And you can see that what would happen with the corpus if there was only the 2.37 is that it would be flatline and stabilized because we would be spending all of the revenue, but we wouldn't be building the corpus up. So based on this data, we were comfortable assuming a projection that we would achieve 4% in the long term, and that was the basis for our 10%, that there wouldn't be any problems with that. I know it's a lot to take in, Mr. Chairman. There's a lot of information and data here. We'd be happy to talk about it between now and tomorrow or on third reading if there's any additional questions, and I'd certainly be open to any questions now, Mr. President.
Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to draw your attention. I'm going to talk about the reserve account because that was what was talked about a lot yesterday, and it's back about six pages. It's numbered 45 on the bottom, and if you go to that last paragraph, it says at the end of fiscal year 13, there was $24,878,000 in the expenditure account that was transferred to the reserve account in compliance with statute 2116-1302B. So this left a balance of $34,780,468 in the reserve account on June 30th, 2013. It goes on to say that, therefore, the excess in the reserve account above the statutory limit was $17,250,198. So this amount spilled over into the corpus, leaving a balance of $17,530,000. And as of the end of the fiscal year, Hathaway Scholarship Endowment Fund corpus, $518,590,000. Now, that's since the end of the, since June 30th, we've had some ups in the market, and I remember the Joint Appropriations Committee saying, or in that sheet they handed out, $559 million. Remember, again, going back to how we funded this, we funded originally with $400 million. We put another $50 in. That made it $450 million. The fund, the Hathaway Fund in 2008, when we had such a bad time in the market, actually went down to $432. And with the spillover and everything else that's happened with capital gains and growth, it's currently at $559 million. So I'd ask you resist the amendment. I think the funds are there. We haven't done anything to any of the awards out there since inception in 2008. I think it's time to do something. So I urge the adoption.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I'd urge you to keep the amendment. The argument was just made was perfect. It's as good as I've ever heard from the great senator from the North. In 98, we took a 25% reduction in the corpus. The stock market in the last 2 weeks has varied almost 10%. There's a real chance that you can get into this. We can pass it. And in the next decade, we can't fund them to anywhere near the same level when we get there. And we've all been there and seen that. And I represent to you, I don't think there's any kids starving on the Hathaway program. In fact, there's a lot of them, and it's one of the things I've got some concerns with. There's a lot of kids going to college making money while they're going to college on the Hathaway. We've really funded a program to a high, high degree, and they're doing just fine where they're at. I haven't had any kids coming to me and telling me that they can't pay their tuition and they can't pay their bills. We're really well funded. It's a great program. Let's keep it funded good, but let's give the kids what we've told them we did and let it go on. It's a good program, and I think we should not take a chance and endanger it with the stock market fall. We want to be here 2 years from now saying, well, we can't do 80%, but we now can't do 60% because we've lost 30% of our corpus and we've lost 40%. And we're in a time right now, it looks great. If we use this same rationale, maybe we ought to be spending maybe another $300-500 million on whatever fund projects we got, because we're sure booking it the same way on the billions we got in savings. And, you know, we run a tight organization. Let's keep it that way.
Mr. Vice President?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think he was for the amendment.
And I, too, would speak in favor of the amendment. I'm not going to add too much more to what my colleague from Northeastern Wyoming said. All I know is that we struggle a lot with a lot of these funds. We struggle with the stock market. I don't know how many paid attention to what was said last night or how many were at that event we attended. A very knowledgeable guy talked about the state of our country and some of the concerns we all have. Why take a chance? Why even take the chance? So I think we ought to, I mean, I wasn't sure I'd even support any increase. At least this is half. I might be able to be persuaded to support this, but I think we ought to pass this amendment and put some constraint on it and be conservative fiscally as we move forward.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. I've got a lot of respect for my friend from the towers and obviously for our appropriation chairman and great wisdom in what they've said to you. But I just want to take you back to when we created this Hathaway Scholarship Program. And I wasn't here. I came in the next year, but I was sure proud of the efforts of this Senate for what they established and what they did. And for whatever reason, they established some amounts that equated to certain things in relation to tuition at the university and the colleges. And that, over the last 6 or 8 years, has eroded. And that's what brought this conversation to the Joint Education Committee during the interim. And the fact of the matter is, those scholarships are not taking care of what they did when this program was first put in place. So I just leave you with that. I'm going to speak against this amendment because I think that this issue was fully vetted by our education committee throughout the interim. We had a lot of testimony. We did a lot of actuarial studies. And I think the fund is good. I think we can take just as good a care of our students today as we took care of them 6 and 8 years ago. On and against the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I think I am for the amendment, but I'd like to hear further discussion from the folks supporting the bill with respect to how they went about the actuarial analysis as to the soundness of this. And so the issue is did you contemplate that we are making a harder effort to educate more students to take larger advantage of this program? How ambitious were you in terms of saying what's the utilization going to be? And did you calculate it out for 30 years? And if you haven't done that, then we've learned by experience that when you look at the retirement accounts that typically actuaries have about a 5 to 10 year view, they don't have a 30-year view. And if you haven't looked at a presumption of the growth in the program for 30 years and put in a predictable analysis of growth, if all you've said is we're going to assume that the same number of students or the same percentage of students of the population, or we're going to assume a 1% growth, you need to know what the actuary analysis are to know whether this is sustainable. And if you don't do that, you're not looking at the stewardship of the account. You're simply saying, well, we'll look at the information which is most favorable to a low growth and therefore justify. Now, I also say with some caution that the analysis that you hear that, gee, tuition is going up and we have a higher, larger obligation to pay for these scholarships, let's exercise caution there. It's a real shame if only, say, 30% of the students are enjoying these benefits, and then those 30% come in and vote for a tuition increase because they know the legislature is paying for their salaries, and the trustees then embark on saying, well, geez, it's still cheap if you consider the Hathaway. What about all the families and the individuals paying for their own education and our constitutional obligation to keep overall salaries low? And there comes a time where you say, well, let's look at the block grant, look at other ways to keep tuition down for everyone. But the idea that we make it easy for folks to just vote themselves a tuition increase because the Hathaway will then grow and take care of that difference really puts a load on those folks that don't have it and the families that don't have the benefit of the program. So you have to be cautious in terms of what the overall policy is.
Further discussion? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, you know, we do go out to year 22 here, and folks, we're looking at just $1.5 million difference at 4% to whether this thing flies or doesn't fly. You know, another thing, Mr. President, and I asked a question yesterday as to whether or not we took into consideration the university's efforts in trying to make sure that kids stay in UW and don't drop out. And I haven't heard an answer for that. But that's probably 4 or 5% more students that's not in here. I think we need to err on the side of caution. And I believe that this amendment does. I guess if I had it my way, I probably still vote for the bill. Vote against the bill even with 5%, because I think that we're even at 5%, we're probably moving too fast, and we don't have the studies that we need to make the determinations that we need. If you look back over the information that I had passed out, there's a lot of blank spaces in some of these areas here, and that's where we were underwater. And structurally, we'd probably have to increase the size of our reserve fund if we're increasing the size of our tuition assistance. And the other thing, Mr. President, when we put Hathaway in, there's a whole basket full of scholarships out there that almost went wanting for a couple of years. And these people had to find out, well, where do we give our money now? And so there's other avenues out there to supplement the Hathaway scholarship that have always been out there. And, Mr. President, I think this is a good amendment, and I hope that we have the common sense to vote for it.
Okay, Senator Coe, for your second time.
Mr. President, for my second term, or my second time. Second time, sixth term, to be exact. 100th term. I'm kind of surprised by my good friend from Goshen County over there. I thought he was a corpus builder. And if you'll see in the numbers that are out there, we're flowing extra money into the corpus of this fund because the reserve account has too much money in it. Statutorily, we push half of that over there. What I want to say is that around the country, there are a number of these programs. This program was structured after the Taylor Plan out of Louisiana. I know there's one in Indiana. They got them in North Carolina. Got them all over the place now, quite a few of them. We are the only state in the country that has an endowment fund that funds this program. We're the only one. Now, we can go out 30 years maybe. I don't know how you go out 30 years and say, how many kids are we going to have in K-12? You know, what's the stock market going to be 30 years from now? I understand the good senator from Albany County's rationale, but I'm saying I think the money is there. I think it's there for the next 7 to 8 years. Oh, practically guaranteed. And I don't know why we wouldn't give a 10% increase when we haven't done anything since 08. So I urge that you resist the amendment.
Well, Senator Perkins.
Sorry, Mr. President, but thank you. Just really quickly, Mr. President, you know, when you talk about what you can afford to do, and it looks like there's plenty of money now, all we have to do is remember back two sessions ago when we were talking about the big plan and retirement, Mr. President. They've got a group there that looks actuarially out 30 years. They do all the assumptions. They do everything right. And they looked about 10 years ago, and they, by golly, that big plan had plenty of money in it. It was 115% or 114% above all the requirements that had to be actuarially sound. We find ourselves now, 10 years later, well, and they thought there was so much money that they started doing COLAs, and they started increasing amounts. Boy, there was plenty. We could do that. 10 years later, that thing is now at 70% looking 30 years out. Or, well, not 70, but it's below 80. And we're struggling to now fund that and figure out how those people get that in the future. And so we can look and say, today it looks rosy, today it looks great. But our experience tells us that even when you have the best and pay millions of dollars on actuaries and investment advisors, that they can be wrong
and the money's not there when you need it. If you vote for this amendment, I don't know if 5% is the right amount. I think 10% is too high. But what you can be sure is by 5%, it's some increase, but you're helping guarantee that money's there when it has to be there in the future when times are tough and those kids still need the scholarships.
Senator Rothfuss for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there's a big difference between a scholarship that you're offering to kids who are aspiring to be great for their full tuition and fees when they go to the university. When you're saying that to them as they're going into high school, you know, if you do a great job in high school, you study hard, you work hard, the state of Wyoming will pay for your college. That's the message that was given when the Hathaway was set up. That's a compelling message. It levels the playing field for those people. It makes sure that everybody can afford it. And it attracts our best students to the University of Wyoming because they're getting a full ride, and that means something. And that's how it started. At this point in time, we've moved back to the point where it's a promise of nearly three-quarters of your tuition and fees we're willing to pick up. You might get a better offer from some other state. And I'll tell you which kids are going to get the better offer from some other state. It's going to be the best of the best. So if we want those kids to go to another state, and if we want to control the fact that this scholarship program won't grow very quickly, keeping the compensation low is definitely going to control that. We can make it of less value. We can make it less attractive. And we can ensure that we won't need to add money to the corpus because it'll take care of itself. That problem will solve itself. But it's not something to aspire to. When JEC looked at this, that's what we were thinking about. We were thinking about how can we make sure that we're still giving that same message that was given when this program was set up. As far as the actuarial soundness of this program, it's a little different, in my opinion, from a pension system, because we don't have to fund this. We have obligations under a pension. The actuarial projections really do go out for 30 years. A 30-year prediction, I would tell you, is nearly meaningless. As the good senator from Natrona County was just talking about, we can't predict 5 years from now. We can't predict next year when it comes to looking at the market. But I would say that when we're doing our actuarial projections right now, we're projecting in the sevens in terms of what the return on investment is. I was embarrassed to provide 7% when I gave these projections, and the 6 was an overwhelming landslide of certainty. Based on any of the scenarios, whether we grow the class, whether we have more people attracted to honors and performance scholarships, any of those things would be absolutely swamped out at 7%. 6% was total domination, and we were filling up the corpus. We looked at this, we gave it some strong consideration, and Mr. President, I'd urge you to defeat the amendment. It was a conservative approach at 10%. Let's vote this one down.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time, and then we'll leave. You'll get your chance, Senator Hicks, but you'll be last.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, with respect to the amendment, having heard the arguments on and for the amendment, for the actuarially purposes that were described, we have not heard that they, frankly, have gone out long enough to make sure that the fund is sustainable for a long time. And finally, if we do go back and start looking at larger increases to the fund, then I think the challenge is to look at how we can do it, to do exactly what my colleague from Albany County said, and that is pay for performance. And for example, it is true that we're telling children, young adults, that if you work hard, you'll get a scholarship. But this idea that you define your work ethic the day you leave high school needs to be examined. And if we have the resources, we ought to be looking at saying, okay, now if you get a certain grade level in your first year of college, the next year we'll give you an extra few percent. And if you continue those grades, we're going to continue to increase the size of your scholarship throughout school so that we continue the earning throughout, so that when you arrive as a freshman, you realize if you work hard, you'll get even more money the next year, and the second year and the third year. And as a parent, having been through one of my children, I think this is what you would do if it was one of your children. You'd say, look, if you want a little extra spending money, then let's see the grades. But the idea that all I've got to do is hit a minimum grade point, and I don't have to pay it, all I got to do is achieve that to maintain my scholarship, that's not what we do to earn more. So as we look at the future, I think the challenge is, are we accomplishing what we want simply by saying, if you hit the mark the day you leave high school, that's all you have to do for 4 years. We have an opportunity, if we're going to restructure, we have more resources, to develop an incentive to encourage students to do well each year and give them a more carrot if the money is there.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you. I would urge us to adopt the amendment and go. I think it's good to walk before we run. And I realize it's been several years since we've passed the Hathaway, and probably there's some latent need for an increase. And this proposed amendment, I think, achieves that. The problem is we're looking at something that's very equivalent to an annuity or a pension plan that has just amazing long-term consequences. It depends on how many kids we got to fund, what the cost of funding that is. And what we do know is that the cost of education is going up faster than almost anything else. Tuition, if you look, well, one of the drivers is could the Hathaway probably fuel some of the increase. I mean, it can't help but. We're very lucky to have this. We don't know how this is all going to play out. These are very powerful financial things over a long time. Think how difficult it is to go to the children of Wyoming and say, we don't have the money this year, and we're cutting back your stipend. I'd rather come back in a couple of years and give another 5%. That's what I'd rather do. So I urge adoption of the amendment.
Okay. Senator Hicks, for your second time.
My last time, and then I hope we move on. First, I want to thank the Education Committee. Monumental task that you undertook to do this, and I appreciate the fact that you bring this to the floor. A lot of work, and it's a lot of information. I don't think anybody in here does not appreciate the work you put into that education. And the reason that we're debating the percentage now is, I think, the good senator from Natrona County just hit on it, and the good senator from Fremont County. We're overdue, folks. We should have been having this conversation several years ago. We probably don't want to wait 8 years into the future. But when we start talking about these tables, and I hear words, and believe me, I spent a lot of time over at the university, a lot of time over in the statistics department. But all of these are based on two things, and the good senator, my colleague from Albany County over there, talked about it. Assumptions and projections. They're assumptions and projections based on what we don't know. We don't know what the corpus of that trust is going to be 5 or 6 years from now. We don't know what it's going to be 2 years from now. Let's move forward, adopt this. It's a conservative budget. We all value education. I think everybody in this body knows that a society will rise and fall with the quality of the education and the knowledge of the general populace, and that's what we want to achieve. Let's do that. We can come back 2 years from now and increase the amount of funding in there. And I like the idea that we also look at providing every year some incentive for some additional funding. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd call for question.
The ayes and nays have been called. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Anderson, District 28.
No.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon. Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Ross?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 16 ayes, 14 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 55 is passed. Senate File 55 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 79. Second reading of Senate File.
Education Student Data Security 2.
Senate File 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, you have a consent list.
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. Mr. President, I move the following third reading consent list. Senate File 38, Hunter Safety Exceptions. Senate File 44, State Parks Use of Fees. Senate File 46, State Parks ATM Donations. Senate File 50, State Minors Health Insurance or Coverage. Senate File 60, VIN Inspection Authority Game and Fish. Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions.
Would any of the senators like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Meyer.
Senate File 60, please, Mr. President.
Senate File 60?
Dude, you're right here. You could have told me I could have taken off.
Oh. It's been removed from...
I guess I could.
Did I hear it correctly? Senate File 60 or 50?
60.
Thank you. Senate File 60 has been removed from the consent list. Any other... request for removal. Hearing none.
Somebody else would take 18.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 38, Hunter Safety Exception. Senate File 44, State Park Use of Fees. Senate File 46, State Parks ATM Donation. Senate File 50, State Minors Health Coverage. And Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provision. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hester,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Ross,
aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 38, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote.
Burns,
aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 38, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 44, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 44, 15 ayes, 15 noes. Senate File 46, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Anderson, District 2, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Johnson, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 46, 16 ayes, 14 noes. Senate File 50, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 50, 30 ayes. Senate File 61, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 61, 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the Senate, Senate File 38, Hunter Safety Exceptions, Senate File 46, State Parks ATM Donations, Senate File 50, State Minors Health Insurance Coverage, and Senate File 61, Veterans Resident Tuition Provisions, have passed the Senate. Senate File 44, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 44 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 60, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 60, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, VIN Inspection Authority, Game and Fish, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the reason I pulled this off is I needed to get some information before I felt comfortable voting for it. I certainly understand the convenience of inspecting VIN numbers by the employees of parks or game and fish. But, Mr. President, what I wanted to understand here is whether or not because these particular employees aren't certified peace officers now and aren't under any type of the retirement, schemes of certified peace officers, whether or not just performing this peace officer function would in any way enable them to get the same type of benefits that might be available now or in the future for certified peace officers. So I'd really like to have a comfort level on that, Mr. President. And if it was asked and answered in committee of the whole, I apologize for taking the body's time.
Senator Cooper? Senator Cooper?
Yes. Mr. President, to answer that, first of all, that the game wardens in this state have been sworn certified peace officers for many years and have the ability to arrest people and do all kinds of things like that. But in most cases, they only perform those duties when it's in has something to do with the game and fish regulations. And I don't I think that was part of the question. And the other part is the fact that, you know, they would still always remain under the, they're primarily game wardens. And you got to understand, this bill only covers a VIN inspection when it's done contemporaneously or at the same time it's done with a boat. So they wouldn't go out looking for boat trailers and do VIN checks on them or cars or trucks or anything else. This bill limits itself just specifically to that issue. But as far as them being a part of the state pension funds or health care, and I think that was part of the other question, I wouldn't think that that would be a part, because they have their own program right now as far as that goes, and they would always be acting in the capacity of a game warden primarily, and so I don't know where that would be connected with it, but hopefully I understood the question.
Further discussion? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. My experience on appropriation is somewhat dated, but as I recall, Game and Fish Highway Patrol are on a similar retirement pension plan, although somewhat different than other state employees, still is under the state, and I would offer that as a bit of information, but it may be questionable.
Well, Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. President, I just wanted to jump in for a moment, you guys. We get so many emails throughout the year talking to us about good government and good and prudent government. And when we heard testimony about what somebody has to do to get a trailer license that happens to have a boat on it, we're running people all over these counties, back and forth to the courthouse, back and forth to find a game warden. And all this does is just streamline the process a little bit. It's not gonna make anybody rich. It's not gonna step too far out of bounds. We've got game wardens that can handle this. I think it's a good bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Chief Clerk will call the roll. Question to show. Senate File 60 passed the Senate.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geist.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Senate File 60, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 60 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senator Von Flatern.
Still using this. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 14. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 14, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Court Security Funding, and Act Relating to Court Security. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think it's on. Hang on a second.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report it due with a favorable recommendation that Senate File Number 14 do pass Court Security Funding. There is a Standing Committee Amendment. I would ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 14, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 23.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Bebout.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Number 1 and to discuss the bill and explain the Standing Committee Amendment. I will yield to my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What you have before you is Senate File 14, Court Security. Mr. Chairman, what this is going back, and just to give you a little background, Mr. Chairman, what we've got, I think most people know about the events over in Riverton, where there was a gunshot that was fired through the wall of the courthouse there in Fremont County in Riverton. Passed over where the jury would sit, over where the witness would sit, and lodged in the wall across the way. Mr. Chairman, as a result of that, it now looks like something out of Afghanistan, a compound that's secured. You've got the steel trailers all around it to kind of give her a bunker mentality. And, Mr. Chairman, what we have is not, that's not isolated just to Riverton. There's a number of aging and courthouses around the state that have some security issue problems. This bill is an attempt to address some of those things, Mr. Chairman. As you know, if you go back in the history of Wyoming, counties typically have the opportunity and the responsibility to provide court facilities. However, those individuals that go to the court, Mr. Chairman, are compelled to come there by the state of Wyoming. The defendants there in criminal cases are defendants that are being prosecuted by the state of Wyoming. The judges and clerks, the judges that work there are state employees. The judges' staff that work there are state employees. The people who go there by juries are also compelled to go there, are residents of the state of Wyoming. So, Mr. Chairman, there is some, I believe, at least some obligation or moral obligation from the state to make sure that when those folks go that they are safe, and hence the origins of Senate File 14. What Senate File 14 does is create in the Court Security Commission a limited, which is already in existence, has been in existence for some time. I serve on that along with some other folks from across state government that have looked at these issues. What we're doing is giving them a very limited rulemaking authority to come out, and under the procedures C, it starts on page 2. You come over there, there's the Court Security Assistance Fund. That's what this fund does. You go to page 3. What we're doing is limiting the Supreme Court only to expend monies that are legislatively appropriated from this fund specifically for the administrative costs of the commission. So that's only a small something-something for the Supreme Court to administer the program to the extent that they are. I think that'll be very, very modest. But what we're looking at, as you get to the heart of the bill, is there C and D, starting on page 3. So what you have is it's distributed to the counties to use for purposes related to security of facilities sustaining the court. And you see, the commission shall adopt rules, provide to make recommendations. In this case, it will be to the SLIB board, who will actually make those, to provide guidelines for grant applications, for prioritizing projects, evaluating those projects, and making recommendations to the SLIB board, who will ultimately make the decision. If you go to page 4, what you find is, if you're eligible for that, you find the eligibility issues that apply on pages 4, 5, and 6. What you have there is trying to find and recognize that those counties that have some limited funds, every county gets to participate. Participation will be anywhere from 0.5% down to some lower percent that we'll look at as you look at the hardship counties. But as you go through, and that gets us to on top of page 5, which is the first part of the Standing Committee. Actually, it's not the first part. Let me back up. I missed a point, Mr. Chairman, on the Standing Committee Amendment. The Standing Committee Commitment on page 3, line 23, What we're doing there is making sure that we're limiting the rulemaking authority for the Court Security Commission, which outside of this doesn't have rulemaking authority. And it's limiting that, so we're inserting that and make recommendations. Again, when you do that, the recommendations will only be for the grant of awards and not for anything else related to court security. So you don't have to worry about the Court Security Commission dropping regulations on your local state courthouses. So that's the first change. If you go to the second change on the Standing Committee Amendment, it's at the top of page 5. What we're doing there is on top of page 5, line 2, after the word county, we're striking out the words from non-state sources of at least and inserting the words not to exceed. So what we'll do is provide the SLIP board will have the ability to look for matches from county governments of not to exceed 50%. You'll see down below some of the things that take into consideration hardship counties and those counties that have strained financial resources. So we're looking at total populations, total per capita income. These things line up fairly similarly with the SLIP board. We'll be making these things. They do these things on a regular basis, recognizing limited financial resources across the state. Some counties have simply more resources than others. So you have in there. Ultimately, those criteria are broad enough that most counties, with a little bit of effort, can qualify. But certainly, it'll be able to also provide some guidance to the SLIP board with respect to setting priorities. Get to page 7. The SLIP board will make those. We'll get to the last part of the last change on the Standing Committee Amendment on page 7, line 14, that we're just making clear that those funds will, at the end of line 15, have the OSLI or the Office of State Lands and Investments distribute the funds. Just makes it clear that it's the, which is the administrative arm of the SLIP board, will administer those funds out. So the they'll be the ones that are writing the checks. It won't be the Supreme Court. It won't be the the Supreme Court or the Court Security Commission. We'll stop right there if I can. I think if I explained the amendment and would ask for a vote on the amendment unless there are questions on the amendment.
Any further discussion on Amendment 1 to Senate File 14? Seeing none, all in favor of Amendment 1, the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 14, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. That has passed Committee of the Whole. Back on the bill, Senate File 14.
Thank you. And just to finish up on page 8, you've got down here you find where the State Loan and Investment Board will grant those who make the grants from the Court Security of Funds, and they'll adopt the rules necessary to do that, which will be very similar to some of the other grant programs that they administer. Section 3 then has the appropriation of $10 million, and that's an amount. Ultimately, it's not anticipated this will necessarily be a continuing program going forward. There are a couple places in the state right now that have particular needs, but nevertheless, they'll still have to go through the process, and nobody is going to be prohibited from participating in the process. But that's the bill at this point in time, Mr. Chairman. I stand for questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 14? Question. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 14, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 14 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 41. Will the clerk please read?
Senate File 41, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Coe, Cooper, and Hines. No, Senator Rothfuss. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Senator Hines, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move from the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It does so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 41. There are no standing committee amendments, and I yield to Senator Anderson to explain the file.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'll try to do this somewhat expediently. This Senate File 41 has to do with the Select Natural Resources Management Committee. I might take a minute as I go through the bill to give some background, but, you know, we formed this committee the past session officially. Prior to that, the Select Natural Resource Management issues were dealt with in a couple of subcommittees or subcommittee that was made up of the chairs of Joint Ag and of Joint Minerals. Mr. Chairman, this particular select committee has become one, I think, of great value. We get a lot of feedback from our county commissioners and other people around this state in regard to the benefit that this select committee has been to the whole state in regard to dealing with the federal government and all the BLM and EPA and all the other kind of acronyms. So with that bit of background, what this bill would do is to, as we would look on the bottom of page 2, this select committee would, under the provisions of this bill, consider issues related to the transfer of public lands, and considering the topic the select committee would do, and what they would do is outlined then on page 3. There is also some initiative out there with a number of other states, Utah somewhat taking the lead, 7 or 8 other states in regard to initiatives to bring federal lands back into the fold of states. And in the event that were to occur, then it would come then under the responsibility of this committee that we're talking about, the Select Natural Resource Committee, to do that in such fashion as outlined here. We could talk more about that process if you want, but the acquisition of federal lands. There's a couple of individuals that we have on the floor, our good senator from Fremont, another from Park. So if you want to hear more about that, we can call upon them later. But in the event this bill were to go forward, the select committee would then determine the potential structure of ownership of the public lands within the state to include consideration of the state owning the surface rights and other multiple estates throughout that, and other management options as determined by to be determined by the committee. They've determined the criteria for management of these public lands, including considerations of rights currently existing under federal law. They would also consider methods for the federal government to divest public lands held within the state, including the consideration of legal action, congressional action. They are then directed under Section D, Line 17, Page 3, to develop and introduce legislation as necessary related to the acquisition or management of those public lands. And then also, Line 21 through 24 would give them the ability and the authority to secure consulting services if necessary. They would be able to provide technical assistance in compiling information with the state and other issues that were related to public land. So, Mr. Chairman, just kind of quickly, the who would be, there's one other section I guess I should bring to your attention at the NC. As used in this section, it talks about public lands means any surface or subsurface lands within the boundaries of the state, titled which is held by the federal government under, quote, public lands, shall not include any land within the boundaries or designated national park, designated national monument, or wilderness areas. So that then would be a clearer definition of those lands affected. So, Mr. Chairman, in summary, the who would be then the select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee. What they would be asked then to conduct the business of any acquisition of federal lands that might be coming later perhaps, and then why. Because we feel, I feel, the committee feels that this would be the proper way to manage this. And I guess a matter of editorial, there is another bill out there designed to do the same thing, except that bill would form a completely new committee in order to accomplish this. I personally think that that's growth in government, not necessary. I think this would be the most proper, most appropriated vehicle, given the fact that it's already existing, it has already proven its ability, and it already has starting to build its knowledge and expertise with these federal issues. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would either pause for questions, if you have any further questions in regard to the what and the why. If not, I would then call for the
further discussion on Senate File 41. Oh, Senator Coe.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just briefly a little bit. You know, I guess I thought I was skeptical of this at first, but there actually are 17 states out there working on this deal. It's about taking back what is rightfully ours, that the federal government had a way of doing things prior. If you go that North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas line, and you go east, those states all got their lands back. after statehood. We have an out here. And with the efforts going on in Utah, through a senator over there and a representative that the good senator from Fremont County and I know fairly well, I really believe that we need to be ready to participate in this if it comes up and be on board and say we believe in it. Nevada, for instance, is the state with the most federal lands. I think it's 90% or something like that. So, heard support of the bill. It might look like a do-nothing bill, but I think we've got to be ready to be on board.
Further discussion on Senate File 41. Question being called, and I would bring to the Senate's attention references to other legislation and the use of formal names of businesses or other properties, so we can watch ourselves on that. Question having been called. Yes, Senator Schiffer, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and I understand what this task force is looking at, but what I'd really like to know is where they're going to get to. Are we going to see some proposed legislation? There are a lot of states that are really moving forward. The other thing is, and the state that's really the furthest along in this is Utah, and they're going with a legal approach. And it seems to me that this state has to decide what kind of approach you're going to take. Basically, they're suing the government, the federal government. And so far, the testimony to the working group was, I sat in on one session and I heard as much whining as I could stand for one day of people complaining about things we all already knew, that it is slow to get permits and all those kind of things. But what I'm really asking is, where are you going to end up? What's the end game? What's the goalpost in this thing? Are you going to go the legal route? Are you going to go statutory and try and work out with these guys? Or where are we going with this? Because there are a lot of states moving a hell of a lot faster than we are. And we've kind of diddled along. And that's okay if we decide we want them to lead. Let Utah lead if they want to. But let's just acknowledge that and let them go do it.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great questions. And let's talk a little bit about, you know, first of all, the basis for this. There was a task force that this body passed in the last legislative session to look at this because of the importance of it and the amount of money spent versus the amount of money and the importance of federal lands. And you all know that we have $1 billion a year in federal mineral royalties, severance tax, ad valorem, all the issues relative to production and mineral revenues in our state. The specifics on page 2-3 about what we're asking for is what was designated in the original legislation. They wanted a report to be issued by this task force with recommendations, and that's why we have the recommendations. To speak to my colleague from Johnson County's questions, first of all, Utah is very aggressive, and in order to have an initiate a lawsuit like this, one of the most important parts, and we heard this from several attorneys, and one of them being the assistant attorney from Attorney General from Utah, is before you get into litigation, you need to know the end result of what you're looking for. So Utah, what they're doing in terms of litigation, part of what they need to do is be able to assess and evaluate the impact. And they've appropriated a huge amount of money to go out there and start doing an assessment of the value of all their public lands relative to surface and fee minerals. And to me, we weren't ready to do that as a state, to make that kind of a commitment until you had a plan on how you would proceed, whether it be through the legislative process vis-a-vis back in Washington or to litigate. So we didn't think we wanted to be where Utah was. We thought that was moving too quickly. Plus, quite frankly, we can kind of go on their heels, let them be out there and spend the money and do some things. But we also recognize, my colleague from Park County talked about, this is really growing in terms of the people in our country being aware of it and the states being involved. We had two meetings of the task force. We also had a regional meeting, if you will, in Utah. Members of the task force attended, as well as several members from the legislature. And I know Senator from over in Lincoln County went, and Kimmer. So to answer the question, we don't know exactly the best way to proceed. But what we do know is we just don't want to walk away from it. So the idea was to set it up in a select committee, whether it's this one, which I happen to like, versus a whole new select committee, to continue to evaluate the different options. And then, yes, there will be a plan. And I would hope that when we get through this next interim work, they will have a better understanding of where we are and come with a plan for this body to consider. to tell you today that I have a plan that I could present to this body. I don't have it. There are so many unknowns, but I do know that we need to continue to be involved. And when we get to that point, I think more things will open up. The whole theory of the litigation has come 180 degrees around from an equal protection clause relative to how we took this issue on when FLTMA was passed in the mid-70s and we had the first stage of Bush Rebellion, to now we're talking about a contractual allegation, the contractual being how we would proceed in litigation and the act of omission and language in that. There's a lot of unknowns on that legal side that I think as we go further we'll be able to understand. So I guess I in a long way of saying we just don't know, but yet we sure need to continue to be on top of it. So I would ask that you support this.
Further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, as one of the members that sat on this task force, to try to specifically answer the question is this. There's two things, and I think we all know what the end game is here, and it's probably going to be a legal challenge. But a lot of the dialogue that occurred is that we also don't want to outrun the population. So part of this whole effort is also not only to educate the population, but to educate ourselves. Because if and when we decide to go towards some level of litigation, we darn sure don't want to outrun the troops. I will tell you some of the testimony that we have, there's still a lot of unresolved questions within the population of Wyoming. Are we just going to sell all these back to the private sector if the state was to acquire them? These are some of the answers in the educational process. If we need to move forward, because if this body or the Attorney General or the Governor decided that there was finally sufficient enough evidence to move forward with some type of lawsuit to join the other states, to test us in the federal court systems, we sure as heck want the public in the state of Wyoming behind that effort. So it's a dual process. Part of it is to gain that information, look at the legal arguments, how do we flesh those arguments out, but the second part of that is we can't outrun our constituents and the people of the state of Wyoming. So where are we going? The simple answer is not only do we need to educate ourselves, we need to educate our constituents, we need to come out with a plan as to how we're going to do that, and that should delve into the legal strategy. And I guess sitting through several of those committee meetings, that's what I come away with. What are we going to do here? We're going to educate. We're going to contemplate, we're going to develop a plan and move forward.
Further discussion, Senator Files, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, speaking of education on this issue, and I'm disturbed about the notion of going toward a legal challenge, let me just read to you from the Constitution of the State of Wyoming. It's in Article 21, and it says the following sections shall be irrevocable without the consent of the United States and the people of this state. Section 26, ownership of certain lands disclaimed, restriction on taxation on residents. The people inhabiting this state do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands lying within the boundaries thereof. Mr. Chairman, we need to educate ourselves a little bit about what our Constitution says and has said since 1890.
Further discussion, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I was the no vote in committee on this particular piece of legislation, and I do have a few concerns. One concern really is that this committee has been the select committee has been an effective committee and has done some great work. We're adding to their plate another responsibility that had an entire task force associated with it previously, and I'd be curious to hear from the folks who are on this committee if they feel like they want to undertake this additional work and whether they're concerned that that might infringe upon the other responsibilities or the amount of time they have available to them for the other work. One of my other concerns is that we did have some information provided to us on the Minerals Committee a while back regarding this from the LSO, and they seem to concur to a pretty heavy degree with the tall senator from Natrona County in that this would be a potentially fruitless effort, that there's no real way we can make any accomplishments. It might be something we want. It might be something we aspire to, but we don't necessarily have a legal leg to stand on. That was at least the conclusion that they came to, our lawyers came to. I'm not enthused, Mr. Chairman, about at this time when The state to the west of us that's been working so diligently on this has made no progress, effectively. I mean, they've talked a lot about it. We can say they've brought people to the table all day long. We can say they've expanded the discussion, that they've engaged. We can use all of those types of words, but we can't say that they've gained a square foot of real estate from the federal government in all of those efforts. And there's certainly nothing that would preclude us from joining in and engaging and expanding the circle and discussing and learning and educating and all of those things. But I am curious to know who thinks that there's a strong likelihood of us making progress to the point where it's worth dedicating time of the good folks on this select committee when I know that they have other valuable obligations and are doing some great work. So I would like to hear more about the certainty. Maybe this isn't the year. Maybe if the state to the west of us starts making progress, we could task this select committee. But, you know, what are our chances on this? That would be one question I have. And the other is, given a year, we had a task force. We put together a task force. We approved that last year. What did we gain from that year of the task force that gives us hope that we'll gain more from the select committee tackling it over the next few years?
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was trying to look up the act of admission. I'll go from memory. But there's two things that we need to be sure and be aware of. And my tall colleague from Natrona County brought up one of them, and I'll explain a little bit about the testimony we heard relative to that. First of all, under the act of admission, there's a provision in that that says that the federal government shall hold these lands in trust until such point in time as they will give them back to the, I don't know whether it says people or states, but there's clearly some documentation in the act of admission that says that. And it further does state that we, the people of Wyoming, forever give up any right, title, and interest to those lands. And what was presented to us in the testimony that we heard is that was put in there, and it's in all of the other states as well. That same language is in the other states' act of admission. I can't cite their constitutions of act of admission, but I know generally that's the case. And the reason being, and the testimony we heard was, you needed that component in the act of admission so that, in fact, the federal government could give those lands back to the states and or their people, because that's the only way they could have clear title. And all I can tell you, that's the way it was represented to me, and that's where, before I had some real reservations about this entire issue, but when I was brought to me that way, it started to make sense as to some of the areas of that we might be able to challenge them on legally.
Further discussion. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say that the good senator from Fremont County is absolutely correct in that one of the things that the meetings that I've attended on this issue have said exactly that. Now, all the states, not maybe all, but many, many of the states in the West here came into the Union with the same act of admission, as was stated just a few minutes ago by a good senator from Fremont County. But the issue is, all of us were treated differently when it came to the public lands. But yet we had the same clause, and the same information was given to us, the same rules set out to us under the Act of Admission. But yet we were treated differently. I guess the point is, we need to find out why we were treated differently, and say maybe the fact of the matter is that we need to then, you know, claim our lands then as part of that, or purchase them back, or whatever we need to do is according to the way we came under the act of admission. Thank you.
Further, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, in far beyond just acquiring lands, we're at a time the federal government's having a hard time financing their own operations, and there's real opportunities out there for possibly the state to take over management of some of these grounds. And if you can't have them, if you can manage them, they still provide a lot better than they do now. We've got brown forests all the way across Wyoming. We've got all kinds. They've done really a poor job overall of managing our federal ground in the state of Wyoming. The state's shown great propensity to be able to manage on a much higher level than the federal government does. And as these times come, and we're there now, there's opportunity for us through this task force to find means that we may be able to, even if we don't own them, we can use them for the greater good of the people of the state of Wyoming. And that end of it makes sense. The other one makes sense. I think the odds are less on it. But the odds of picking up some management's very real at this point in time. It costs them more money to manage than they take in off of it, and there's a chance. Maybe we can pick up a national forest to manage. Maybe we can pick up some BLM ground that we actually manage it. There's a lot of good that comes with that, because there's with the difference of management, there's a lot of different goods to both our energy industry, our ag industry, for the state of Wyoming. I'd encourage us to be ready at what the opportunities are, identify them, prioritize them, and take advantage of them where we can.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I want to reference the same Article 21, Section 26 that the good senator from Natrona County read. This comes right out of our enabling legislation that founded the state of Wyoming. This is almost mirror image, but you got to read the whole thing. You just can't stop where it says we're going to get above title. So I want to read this part. It says, "And that until the title thereto shall have been extinguished by the United States, the same shall be remain the same in the disposition of the United States."
It's, go to the mic,
please. It's clear that it was the intent of Article 21 to give them clear title, but then it says the United States is going to distinguish all lands. That's in our enabling legislation as a state. Ours is identical, almost identical to North Dakota's and Nebraska. So get back, what have we learned? What we learned is the policy of the United States changed in 1976 with FLTMA. Up until 1976, it was still the policy of the United States of America to distinguish, to extinguish all ownership of that federal domain other than those federally designated areas that are outlined in this bill, which is the national parks, the national monuments, even wilderness has to be designated by Congress. So what we know is that Congress changed the policy. The legal argument that we've learned is, does Congress have the legal right by policy to change a contract between two sovereign entities? Well, let's explore that. What we found out twice in the last 6 or 7 years, the Supreme Court has ruled the state is a sovereign entity. And they said, not so much that they even said that we were a sovereign entity, there was one Supreme Court decision that said we ought to start acting like a sovereign entity. But I want to point out one thing to you. One glaring thing that needs to bring this whole debate home. You say, well, it can't happen, it won't happen, it'll never happen. It happened, folks. It happened when the Supreme Court ruled on the disposition of the state of Hawaii that came in 1959. Go pull a map up. Other than the military bases and the national park designated by Congress, it's all private property. It happened in 1959. In that particular reading, they said, you can read the whole Supreme Court case if you want. But the idea that this can't happen, won't happen, never has happened is wrong. So I would tell you, we have learned a lot. It starts to flesh out these discussions in these agreements. It says right there in our Constitution, the United States is supposed to extinguish those lands. So we've learned a lot. I'd ask for your favorable consideration with a yes vote on this.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief because we've been on the subject long enough. I think everybody in this chamber knows my feelings about this. And I'm not a big fan of public lands. But anyway, I would just urge on and for this bill. I'm a believer of this committee. I just hope that they're actively involved and do something, and I hope that this lays it out. There's something to be said for standing back and watching the first state hit the wall. But I can promise you that if that's the case, then it won't be a very successful attempt. And it's one thing to be a fallback hitting the wall first, but you expect the tailback with the ball to be not far behind and take advantage of those blocks. And so I would urge our state and this committee especially to be more than just a cheerleader on the sideline, watching them hit the wall first. Not that cheerleaders are a bad thing. We need cheerleaders, but we need somebody that's carrying the ball and blocking too. So my admonition is be actively involved in this and pursue it, and not just be a cheerleader or a spectator in the whole thing. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I agree. But I still say that there's no goalposts in this bill. You can hire a consultant, but you don't have any money. You don't have any legal consultation. But most of all, you don't have the critical thing, which is what Utah did, and they put resources into it and said, go find out what this is costing us. You've heard loads of testimony amongst yourselves, but you're not getting the word out to the people. They're not going to attend a task force meeting. Excuse me. You'll be lucky if you get a byline in the hometown newspaper. You'll get more if you run a football team and got good tailback and good cheerleaders. You'll get more press than what you folks are getting. So this isn't going to get it for you. You don't have any resources in here. You don't have a goal. If you want to really move it forward, you go hire a constitutional lawyer, just like Utah did. And he'll outline how do you build a portfolio to challenge this thing. If you really want to find out how bad the state's damaged, you go hire somebody that can tell you that. I suspect they're over the hill there. But this doesn't do anything. This does absolutely nothing except set up more meetings where a little select group's going to get in and tell each other what they already know. I'm all for that. But it doesn't move you forward. There's no goal line here.
Further discussion on Senate File 41. Having seen none, all those in favor of Senator Hines' motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 41, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 43, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, prioritization of municipal solid waste facility project, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facility cease and transfer projects. It was assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Cooper, Hines, and Rothfuss. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, I move in Senate File Number 43. Come up on that. I move that Senate File 43 pass the Committee of the Whole with a do pass recommendation. There is a standing committee amendment. I ask that it be read in at this time.
Clerk, please read it.
Senate File 43, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 6, line 10.
I move the standing committee amendment, and I will yield to Senator Roof for the explanation of the bill and the committee standing amendment.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, last session we had a lot of discussion about municipal solid waste projects and some funding measures that were put in place, and there were, I believe, $4 million put into a grant account and $1.5 million put into a savings account. But there was concern by the majority floor leader and chairman of the Appropriations Committee at that time about getting a prioritization list put into place so we really know where the money would be spent, how much it would be, and what the order would be. So we went back over the interim and put that together, had Department of Environmental Quality work up the list of projects, come back to us with that, and then during the interim, we turned that into a little bit of legislation to bring to the body. So this is the product of that endeavor. It doesn't spend new money. It doesn't commit us in a different way than the direction that we took last session, but what it does is it puts projects in order and gives some estimates to the specific products that were given. You can see going through the bill on page 2, there's a definition of maximum amount. That's an important concept. We talked about how to define that. And this is the total amount to be expended on the project listed and reflects 100% of the project costs. And then it says including any award by the State Loan and Investment Board, etc. But then, as provided, no grant or loan shall exceed 75% of the total cost of cease and transfer activities of the municipal solid waste facility. That was part of the original statute, and the clarification here is this is not the total amount that they would be eligible for under an award from that legislation, but is in fact the full amount for the project estimated, and the amount that they would be, that would potentially be obligated by the state would be up to 75%. You may recall, Mr. Chairman, that it's a mix, a potential mix of grant and loans, based on the SLIB's recommendation for an individual project that can be up to 75% of the total cost. As we move through, you see in Romanet 2, it just discusses the fact that C, when you look at the project priority list, means a closure project, and T on Romanet 4 means a transfer project. So that's two parts of the operation, closure of the municipal operating waste facilities, and a T means a transfer project that's put into place. Little B on page 2 just discusses the fact that it goes to the previous prioritization statutes and then looks at the beginning of the priority index. You see an index number, which is the relative importance based on the prioritization criteria that we gave them in the previous legislation. You see the project name, and then you see the maximum amount. That list proceeds through page 6. And then there's a little bit of clarification on page 6, beginning in little C, that discusses the fact that the Department of Environmental Quality may modify the authorized funds and the order of the projects listed based on the following reasons: to optimize efficiency, based on project readiness, compliance with qualifications or conditions, and to address emergency and immediate environmental concerns. So it gives them some flexibility. At this time,
would you like to put, yes?
Yep. At this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to. It may have already been moved, but if it hasn't been moved, I would so move it again. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, which is a simple clarification in the language. We realized that the way it was phrased was a little bit ambiguous of our original intent. So you'll see going into page 6, line 10, we're deleting the authorized funds and, so that it will read the Department of Environmental Quality may modify the order of the projects listed. Our original intent was simply that the dollar figures would move with the project. However, the way it was phrased would imply that the Department of Environmental Quality would be able to change the maximum amount of funds. So this amendment removes the ability to modify those maximum amounts and holds that as a ceiling. There is a provision, as you can see, Mr. Chairman, in page 7, little D, which basically says if that's not enough money, then they could come back and ask the legislature to change that money. So we have a potential out there. We just want to make sure that the Department of Environmental Quality can't unilaterally increase the maximum amount. So at this point, I would open the floor to any questions on the amendment, and if there's no questions, I would ask for a question.
Questions on the amendment itself? Seeing none, all in favor of Senator Hines' motion to adopt Standing Committee Number 1 amendment to Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That amendment has passed Committee of the Whole. We're back on the bill. Anything further, Senator Ruffis?
Chairman, I'd open up for discussion on the bill. Thank you.
Discussion on the bill. Senate File 43. Seeing none. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief, but help me with just a little bit with the prioritization of all these projects. I noticed that the first 20 or 30 are in the somewhat remote parts of our state, and I assume that is because of the tax base and the inability for those communities to step up. Am I understanding that to be one of the major reasons why those are at the front of the list? And maybe a little bit more about that prioritization schedule.
Anybody? Anybody going once, going twice? Senator Ruffis, by default.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a number of things that go into it. The ones at the top of the list, to a large degree, are based on readiness. Readiness has to do with need as well. So if you've got a facility that's closing and it's time to put together a transfer facility now, then those are the ones that tended to go to the top. There's also environmental considerations that are taken into it. So these are potentially leaking facilities where we need to get to it relatively quickly, close it up, and solve the problem. So there are a number of different factors that were used in that evaluation. We can look at last year's legislation and get you that specific list. But yes, some of them are just on a need basis as well. So a lot of different factors went in. There was a scoring system and criteria. I can actually get you the data for that if you would like, Senator. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 43. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises, report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 43, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 43 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51. Will the reading clerk please read in the bill?
Senate File 51, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Workers' Compensation Coverage, an act relating to workers' compensation. It was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman.
Senator Scott, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 51 do pass. There were no standing committee amendments, and I yield to Senator Bebout for an explanation of this good little Senate file.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, Senate File 51, I bring to you to try to solve a problem that's been in existence because of a Supreme Court decision, and specifically what it applies to. And if you look at the title, you will see it says clarifying eligibility for elective coverage of corporate officers, members of a limited liability company, and general partners or sole proprietors. As you all are very much aware, we have a constitutional obligation and agreement to cover our workers through workers' compensation. And before 2007, if you were, and I use the case, an example, as a welder, and you were a welder working as a sole proprietor, or you wanted to have an LLC to work in that for some legal protection from liability perspective, you were able to, in fact, apply for and receive workers' compensation because it's extra hazardous duty. In 2007, there was a Supreme Court decision, Jenkins versus State of Wyoming, that said, no, you shall not do that. And since then, the language in terms of the interpretation from the courts and the agency, we thought that we could possibly still do it. And I tried for several years to get several of my constituents the ability to get workers' comp. The department continued to say, no, we need to change the statute to clarify it. That's why I bring you this bill. And, Mr. Chairman, what this bill clearly does, it allows for those people that are operating, and what it is, it's where you are essentially the owner, the worker, the treasurer, and you're the one responsible person for that. Under current law, you could have one person in an LLC, and if you hire one or two more employees, you have coverage. But if you're the only person, you don't. And that's the purpose of the bill, Mr. Chairman, is to allow those people the opportunity to participate under a workers' comp system. It only makes sense. They're working in an extra hazard duty situation. In my case, it's a welder. It could have been others, and we should afford them that protection. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Further discussion on Senate File 51. Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Scott's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 51, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 51 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We're on Senate File 54 with the clerk, please read it in. Mike, is your mic on?
It was assigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Haster, Meyer, and Perkins. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Bebout, you've heard the...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole writing report do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 54 do pass, reports to the legislature. I yield to my colleague from Lincoln County to explain the bill.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 54 consolidates, reduces expenses. Essentially, I'll do a quick summary and then do a quick run through of the pages. Three statutory reports were eliminated: college prepaid tuition, education litigation, displaced workers. Two GAC reports are directed to labor and health, quality child care, and cancer treatment. 17 reports generally submitted in the fall time period, the October-November time period. They'll be included now with a biennial budget request. It allows for electronic budgets, while leaving the option open for printed copies should you want one. Quickly, pages, running through the pages, page 3, revenue reports moved to the biennial budget. Again, those were the November general reports. The state budget will be offered as an electronic copy. That's page 3. Page 4, state budget documents will be delivered as printed copies, and a legislator can still request a copy if needed individually. Page 5. The Chief Information Officer's biennial budget report will be offered in electronic form. Page 6, Federal Natural Resource Policy, electronic form. Page 8, University Budget, electronic. Also the Film Industry Incentive Budget, electronic. Page 9, Other General Revenues, electronic designation as well. Page 10, the Guardian Ad Litem, biennial reports. Those will be include the number of cases, the funds expended, and the matching county funds and so forth. Military Assistance Fund on page 11, that'll be an electronic report. Page 12, tuition and fees for the education of war veterans, again, electronic. Special plates, page 14, biennial and electronic, page 15. The reports for the parks and historic sites, again, electronic. Page 17, aging and disability reports, again, electronic. So consolidates and reduces. That's Senate File 54.
Further discussion on Senate File 54? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Are all those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 54, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 54 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is Senate File 59. The clerk, please read it in.
Senate File 59, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, specific service signage on highways, and act relating to highway signage. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flader, and Senator Von Flader, and Chairman.
Senator Landon, you've heard the report. What is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation of due pass for Senate File 59. There is a standing committee amendment. I would ask that it be read in at this time.
The clerk, read it in, please.
Senate File 59, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Landon?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment at this time, and I'll explain that as I explain the bill. The standing committee amendment, fellow senators, just cleans up some language. But what you have in front of you, fellow senators, Senate File 59 is a bill that will allow the Wyoming Department of Transportation to set up the necessary procedures for contracting services for the administration of specific service signs. Now, I will admit to you, after spending the past 6 years on your transportation committee, that I still don't understand all of the highway signs out there. But fortunately, the ones we're talking about tonight are the blue signs, and they're the signs that have the little colorful signs of businesses on them. And those are the service signage that we will be talking about with this particular bill. They have been a little bit in a state of disrepair, to be honest. And it is time for the Department of Transportation to take a look at this program, and that's what this bill allows them to do. As I mentioned, YDOT states that the bill does not mean that available sign space will be given to a highest bidder. And you'll see on page 2 and 3 that we allow for rules and regs to take care of resurrecting and renovating all of this signage. I want to give a shout-out to that agency. Fellow senators, you might be aware that they held public meetings in Casper, Sheridan, Rock Springs, and Laramie. Last fall, the Department of Transportation officials met with the lodging and restaurant folks at their annual meeting. I will tell you that up in my neck of the woods, I met with our lodging and restaurant folks. They're very pleased with what has come down with respect to these special service signs that we're talking about. If you look in your bin, I've provided for you these service signs, the public meetings summary. If you'd like to take a little bit closer look at what the department tried to accomplish there, they allowed for several options. They took surveys. They sent out letters to 444 specific service sign type owners. These businesses represented 790 of those little logo panels that you see out there on the roadways and on the ramp panels. The new fees that were decided upon, $200 administration fee and a $200 maintenance fee each direction, whichever, wherever you have those signs. The anticipated fees, they anticipate that those fees will go down, because what this is going to do is completely resurrect all of those 790 signs. They will now be reflective. I'll take you now to the bill real quickly.
Bill, let's move faster.
Okay.
Believe me, you got it.
Okay. All right, bud.
We're on the amendment.
I'm gonna call for question on the amendment. If you'll notice, the amendment specifically goes to line 4 on page 1. Unless there's any questions about what that amendment does, I would simply call for the question.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. Are you ready? All those in favor of Senator Landon's motion to adopt Standing Committee Number 1, the Senate File 59, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We've adopted Standing Committee 1 to Senate File 59. We're back on the bill, Senator.
Our majority floor leader, I think that's enough explanation. We're dealing with special service signage. Be glad to answer any questions.
Further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 59, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 59 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18. Will the reading clerk please read the bill?
Senate File 18, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Counties Legal Publications, an act relating to county notice publications. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Lex and Political Subdivisions, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File Number 18, Counties Legal Publications. There are no amendments from the Standing Committee, Mr. Chairman, and I'd ask that you yield to Senator Hines.
Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 18 has to do with the concerns that counties had with the cost that they was having to bear over the years with the price of publishing all the information from their meetings and their employees and salaries and those things. So the county clerks, the county commissioners, and the press association had representatives that got together, worked on this bill, and all of them support the bill as currently written. What one of the major changes now that the meetings and all a lot of this information have to be posted on county designated official website. And also now they will only have to publish that once in a designated newspaper, where currently they have to do it twice. The important part of this is that in this digital age, more things are going to the website, and the counties must have a procedure and list their website and address where the public can easily find it. And this, to begin with, this have to be done monthly, and then after that, I believe it is once a year. But it has to be where everybody can see it and learn the process. Also in this, after 60 days at the end of each fiscal year, the positions, salaries, the growth monthly salaries, full-time employees, and each elected official, that salary will be listed currently as it is now. Anytime they have the business to acquire, dispose of, then this also have to be on the county website and in the newspaper once a week for 2 weeks. That's a reduction of from 4 weeks to 2 weeks. The repealers are basically the first repealer in Section 2 on the back of the book has to do with where currently you had to march, you had to name all the name and position, but you didn't have to name the salaries. Now that's changed where the new language put it together and that's 60 days after the end of the year. The other repealer changing where it had to refer to department heads and elected officials, and that's included in here in a different form on page 4, line 13 and 14. Goes all through the bill, explaining that the reduction in the newspaper and how it have to be on official website. If there are questions about any particular part, I will answer them. If not, I call for the question on the bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 18. Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 18, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Senate File 18 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19. Reading clerk.
Senate File 19, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, City and Towns Legal Publication, an act relating to cities and towns. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case, you heard the reading. What's your pleasure? Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 19, Cities and Towns Legal Publications. And I would sincerely ask that you yield the rest of my time to the good senator from Campbell County, excepting yourself, of course. Not taking a personal insult there. Senator Hines.
Mr. Chairman, this is very similar to the bill I just explained, except this refers to City and Town Legal Publication, and it's a much shorter bill because it's just addressing that the position gross monthly salary of each full-time and employees have to be published. And I believe it's included in their website if they have one. The repealers are just the same as the one. What was repealed there in Section 2 and page 2 is brought back into the bill where both your employees and salaries are listed at the same time, 60 days after the end of each fiscal year. And the other repealer is where the department head was separate and it already included in the full-time employees and elected officials. And it's the same issue that Cities and Towns is concerned about the legal cost of publications, and the groups got together and worked on this changes, and they all said they had supported the bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 19? Seeing none, you ready for the question? All those all those in favor of Senator Case's motion to when the Committee of the Whole rises on Senate File 19, when the Committee of the Whole rises report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 19, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 19 has passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20. Reading clerk.
Senate File 20, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Local Government's Legal Publication, an act relating to local government notice publication. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, who reports back with a favorable recommendation of due pass. I, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Nutty, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case, it's been a while.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I would respectfully ask that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the resounding support of Senate File 20, Local Government's Legal Publications. And to further explain the bill, I would like the man in the camel jacket to speak.
Senator Hines, now that we've got some respect.
Mr. Chairman, this is very similar to the bill we just looked at and talked about. This is for local government and their legal publications. Goes into a few different areas, but where it addresses is things like where different agencies or people are involved, like liquor license, where they have to currently do it four times a year. This would their applications and renewal. This would reduce it to two. When the county is the licensing authority, the county clerk shall post it on their website. When a city is the licensing authority, they shall also post it on their website if they have one. It also addresses changes in how the procedure worked in precinct boundaries, which it reduces the time again, but also requires it to be on the website. Yeah. On the issue of road locations or changes on public roads, it reduces the time, but it also retains the requirement that any landowner or anyone that publicly interested might use that road or have reasons to use it be notified by registered mail. And again, any of these notices, things have to be on the website, and then they will be continually published, but on a reduced amount. So if there's any questions on this, I'll try to answer it.
Further discussion on Senate File 20? Question? Question having been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 20, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 20 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Enthusiasm is waning. Next bill for our consideration, and possibly the last one, is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, sponsored by Senator Landon, Unemployment Insurance Coverage Fiduciaries, an act relating to unemployment compensation. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, and Scott. Excuse, Senator Nutting, Senator Case, Chairman.
Further reading the bill, Senator Case again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 74, Unemployment Insurance Coverage Fiduciaries. For an explanation of the bill, I'd like to yield to the sponsor, Senator Landon.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, this, you'll recall, is the bill with regard to fiduciaries who handle trusts. And I have provided for you in your bin some talking points on this bill. I won't go through those. I think the bill is pretty self-explanatory. Under our unemployment insurance law, this would exempt those who take care of trust obligations and receive a nominal sum of money in return and not subject that to unemployment insurance. I'd be glad to answer any questions. If there aren't any, I would call for the question on the bill.
For the discussion, I hear the question called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 74, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 74 has passed the Committee of the Whole. And with this much awe.
Great taste, good product. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Mr. President. Here's my scratch pads.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 14, do pass amended. Senate File 41, do pass. Senate File 43, do pass amended. Senate File 51, do pass. Senate File 54, do pass. Senate File 59, do pass amended. Senate File 18, do pass. Senate File 19, do pass. Senate File 20, do pass. And Senate File 74, do pass. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried, and the report has been adopted. Reports from standing committees.
February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 70, State Appropriations Lapsing of Funds, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Myers, and Perkins, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 12th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 58, National Guard Service Governor's Authority, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Myers, and Perkins, excuse Senator Haster, Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 13th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, and Perkins, no Senator Meyer, excuse Senator Hastert, Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand and we adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Friday, on the
14th.
It is 14th, and it's Valentine's Day. If you haven't ordered your flowers, you better get out and do it.
Announcements, Senator Geis.
Or a drill.
Committee number five, Agriculture, Water, and Natural Resources, will have a joint meeting up in 302 with the U.S. Forest Service first, right up where we get up there, I guess. And then after that, we'll move over to S-15, and we're going to take up Senate File 66, Ominous Water Bill Construction, Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees, Senate File 39, Grand Teton National Park Transfer of Lands, Senate File 42, Electric Light Installation of Light Bulbs.
There's Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room. Senate File 76, Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct. Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts. Senate File 65, Substance Abuse Grant Program. Senate File 89, Health Professionals, Medicaid Billing, if time permits.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room S11, to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, a continuation from today. Senate File 71, Reversion of Appropriations. Senate File 103, State Buildings Construction. And Senate File 104, Permanent Mineral Trust Fund Protection. And, Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes.
You've been distributed, members of the Senate, your budget bill. You should have it. Does everybody have it? Okay, thank you.
Senator Bebout, do you have a – could you do rules?
I'm sorry.
Please?
Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day as well, at noon recess in room S5, to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 67, Administrative Rule Streamlining, Senate File 68, Obsolete Laws, and Senate File 11, Appropriation for the Legislature. That's our pay bill.
Mayor Coe.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet upstairs in the penthouse suite, room S13, at 8 o'clock to take up Senate File 3, School Facilities Collaborative Committee Process, Senate File 4, School Finance Local Resources, Senate File 5, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive, and Senate File 92, Wyoming Community College Commission Director Ex Officio Memberships 2.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow noon, 15 minutes after the noon recess, to take up Senate File 75, Environmental Protection Agency Action 2, Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Regulation of Carbon Dioxide Emission. And, Mr. President, I'll be putting out a correction in the morning. I had already told people we'd have Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Bonding, tomorrow at noon, and so I'll put a correction out in the morning. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may have the privilege of the floor. With respect to the schedule, we will start tomorrow at 10. I think we will get through all the remaining files that are for introduction tomorrow. It'll take about an hour and a half, we calculate, to get that done. So at 10, that'll get done about 11:30. Then we have second reading and third reading, so that'll take us through probably the lunch and into 2. We'll take a look tomorrow. We may start a little bit earlier at lunch, depending on the committee work, because, I mean, we can't really start earlier in the morning. We can't really shut down our committee work. It's the horse of what's working right now. So given our committee's adequate time really means we've got to adhere to our schedules. So we get back at 2, we'll have a pretty good list of bills. But we got the budget running next week, and the more work we get done now, the easier your life's going to be next week. So I know it's Valentine's Day. I know everybody wants to get out of here, but expect a pretty good work day tomorrow. And we're going to have, the last thing, we're going to have a couple members that are going to be leaving. They have some required appointments, but I'm hopeful we'll have everybody together through third reading, and then, so we should be pretty good shape. Thanks.
Senator Schiffer.
And Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, is going to meet tomorrow, February 14th. It's Valentine's Day, so we have a whole set of sweet things to work on. Senate File 28, Post-Conviction Actual Innocence. Senate File 30, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA Evidence. Senate File 31, 24-7 Sobriety Program. Senate File 35, Wearable Computers Prohibition While Driving. Senate File 85, Trespassing to Collect Data. And Senate File 84, Child Support Payments.
Any further announcements? Members of the Senate, I received a letter from NCSL concerning appointment to a committee called dealing with early childhood education and early childhood welfare or whatever. It's been a long day. But if anybody would want to be appointed to that committee, you let me know. I have to submit that by tomorrow. So there you go. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's been adopted. Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. February 14th. Yeah, we got to get... What's this?
Hey, Kurt,
on the budget?
Our first bill is the water.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you can bring... Right.
Okay.
It's a joint rule, though.
Yeah.
Hey, when do we have to do these rules?
good.
Before we go start time, we have that Forest Service. You know, that's one of the reasons listening to the